Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Running the Point with Jason Carey, the intelligent podcast. We got an opportunity to sit down and have a good conversation. Season four. Before I get started, I always like to say the grace, and the grace is we are out here competing for ears. There's so many podcasts and just a lot of noise out there, so you're taking the time to listen to me, and I appreciate that. So thank you very much for coming on. I have season four, and I don't know if it started out like this, but season four, it's conversations with people I believe you should know, because I know a lot of people, and I'd be like, yo, you're dope. You're a dope individual. And there's a lot of people in our community that's really dope. And I happen to come across this one. So I'm meeting her just like y'all meeting her right now. So I want to introduce you guys to Miss Tamika Newhouse, a highly decorated creative is what I'm going to say. I'm going to introduce her as that. Welcome to the show, Tamika. How are you?
I'm great. And I am still in that title, a highly decorated creative. That is me.
Highly decorated.
That's important.
Yes, I mean, you gotta ask when you are kind of a Swiss Army knife of creativity. You gotta ask how is the best way to introduce somebody like yourself? Is that's a good one? Highly decorated.
That is a good one.
Like that? Okay, I like that.
I've been using the word creative or creator and even artist for years to get writers to connect a little bit more to their artistry versus just, you know, putting out books. Because, you know, writing is an art form. So we are artists.
Indeed.
We are creators. So
indeed.
That was perfect.
Okay. Yeah, people get a... Yeah, I think I agree, because when you give them one word, you just say writer, then they'll forget to call you about some other thing. You'll be like, all right, well,
mm-hmm.
I have nothing for a writer. But hey, listen, I got a lot of other things in me. Just call me. I'm a creator. Okay. Producer, entrepreneur. When I say highly decorated to everybody, I'm talking 17 novels now, right? You on novel number 17?
Yes, novel number 17.
17
novels. Yep.
I'm going to get into that. 8 African American Literary Awards. 3-time winner of Self-Published Author of the Year. So it's a lot of, and I could go on with her accolades, but I want to make sure y'all know, qualify that title, highly decorated. First of all, where you from, Tamika?
I'm from Texas. I'm a cowgirl.
Texas. I saw San Antonio. Is it, you from San Antonio? Or you from outside of San Antonio?
No, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. But when I graduated, I moved to San Antonio, and I lived there for 8 years before I moved to Atlanta.
Got it. Okay. Hey, I have love for San Antonio. Used to go out there.
Yes, it was a love hate thing in the beginning, but then it was so quiet and so family oriented, and surprisingly, you know, it's one of the largest cities in the United States, but it's down at the bottom of Texas, and you know, people forget about it, but it's a great family oriented city, and it's quiet, and I knew I was going to miss it when I was saying goodbye, but I had other things I needed to do, and Atlanta was my next stop.
Indeed, Atlanta is a great place. I say that Atlanta is, I'm not from Atlanta, but I live in Atlanta, and I think that Atlanta is one of the best cities in America to live in, actually. I got some various reasons for that, but so I'm glad you came out here as well.
Well, thank you,
Kyle. So let's get into this thing a little bit, because you have something coming up, and right now we're dealing with the coronavirus, and we're dealing with this pandemic. I feel like right now we're in the middle of history, especially if we're doing things like this. We're actually living history. They're going to study how creatives and artists handled this moment. So how are you handling this moment right now?
You know, I'm a different type of individual. I see that, you know, I love the end of the world type of movies or natural disasters.
What's wrong with us?
Movies and things like that.
Yeah.
I like to see people's reaction and, you know, how they try to survive and stuff like that. And then I'm a writer, so I'm naturally cuckoo in the head anyway with, you know, visualizing these extreme measures, because I have to create all kind of emotions in my stories. So this time period for me hasn't really altered my life or my focus, because I've always been focused and I've always worked by my own terms. I haven't had a job since I was 23, and I haven't had anybody else control my day and my time in over 10 years. I'm 33 years old now. So when it comes time, when it's time for things like this, and, you know, and the world is completely stopped, and those who were dependent, you know, on paychecks or dependent on another person or a company. Like, these are the prime examples of things I've talked about all my life. And people will, you know, they will be like, oh, to me, so to the extreme. Oh, to me, everybody can't be like you or whatever. And I understand pursuing your dreams, but even trying to have the day that you really would like creating the life that you want is not easy at all. But then, I mean, this is a very rare situation, but something could really happen in your own personal life that can alter something to where now everything is disrupted. So, I'm cooling it. Like, I'm still home, working from home, still maintaining, still, you know, working and training my team. You know, getting people continue to keep them motivated, and level headed. But I'm a realist at the end of the day. And, if you're in during this pandemic, if your thought process is, oh, I wish I could have did this, or I wish I could have did that, or if you're trying to attempt to start a business so that you can have some cash flow, and then remember this feeling that you have right now. A lot of people have this really this new found momentum because their backs are up against the wall. Mm-hmm. But I have always operated like my back is up against the wall because I want to travel. I want to explore the world. I want to try new foods. I want to fall in love and be and experience a great passionate love. Like, I want to, you know, have all kinds of, you know, monies and riches and things like that. So this doesn't change my focus, and even moving forward, I'll still continue to be me. But my encouragement for people that's going through this, remember the feeling that you have right now. And, you know, and once this is over with and done, and, you know, you can say that you lived through this, how are you going to treat yourself moving forward? Mm-hmm. How are you going to treat or go about life moving forward? So
I like that. How are you going to treat yourself? I like that. I like that. You guys take notes from what she just said. How are you going to treat yourself? And it's funny. So people probably think you're crazy because they think I'm crazy, too, because we're kind of exhilarated during this moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, you
right.
said, it's like, nah, I always felt like this. Like, I don't know why y'all just woke up feeling like this. This is this every single day. So
every single day.
So, but there's power in that. I think there's power in that. So I think there'll be some great things that come out of, you know, cliche, diamonds, pressure creates diamonds. That's a cliche statement, but I think this is real. I think there's a little bit of pressure and some great things are going to come out of this moment outside of the loss that we're experiencing.
It really, really is. I think we have the same experience even with the last outbreak with the H1N1 virus. There were a rise in entrepreneurial businesses, especially among African Americans. We'll have the same this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but a lot of those people, half the people won't keep that same momentum, and then the other half will. But regardless of that fact, just know that on the other side of this, just choose happiness. Be happy. No more complaining. No more doing things every day that you really don't want to do.
Facts.
Or just taking things that have been given to you. You know, come on, treat yourself better. Like, this really should be an eye-opener if you're not living the life that you want to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think there'll be a rise in digital, in the digital space, too. I've been on the internet for years, and I made a joke on one of my shows about how people just invaded my home now. Everybody's online doing live shows, and I was like, y'all took the internet for granted for a long time.
Yeah, most
of them. Everybody out here, no, let's go to the internet. Stay at home. Don't come out here. We've been out here.
You're just oversaturating our space.
Facts. That's how I feel. I feel like, hold on, man. Don't come over here, y'all.
Right, like, how dare you?
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I'm glad I'm not the only one. I felt like people were looking at me funny because I said that. No, you in my space. Anyway, speaking of going online, so you do have an event coming up. The AAMBC Literary Awards. So let's talk about that a little bit. You started that last year? Is that when you started? When did you?
No, but the awards has been in existence. It was established back in 2009 is when I did the first AAMBC Awards.
Okay.
And it was solely, what the focus was to elevate and celebrate the unknown voices, because I discovered a lot of Black writers back then. My space was the platform that the organization started on, which ironically started in the
MySpace. Come on.
So it's been it's been 12 years now since we started, but now with the pandemic, with COVID kind of running rapid, I decided to switch the focus and create a digital award show this year so that we can continue to celebrate our writers and make it this whole celebratory phenom of just our stories, our books, our creative, and then have fun with it. But African-Americans on the Move Book Club is what it stands for, because it's a literary movement. It's about getting excited about our books, about our creative, and so forth.
Okay. All right. I'm a fan of the written word. So that's the other reason why I wanted to talk to you, because I'm excited that there are people still out there pushing the written word. We got so caught up in video, Snapchat, mm-hmm. and Instagram. That's why I spend time on Twitter, because I'm a fan of the written word. That's it.
Y'all, yes, I love Twitter too.
Y'all abandoned the written word. So you've put on hundreds of writers from once you decided to start your publishing company. Kind of talk about starting that and the joy in putting other people on.
Yeah, so now the organization has helped thousands of writers since 2008.
Huge.
Either published a book, either built a fan base, started. I've helped launch well over 100 independent publishing houses, as well as help jumpstart a lot of creative careers. A lot of writers, for the most part, and ABC's mission is always to create a platform for any writer, whether they're emerging or they're veterans and well-known. And often writers that got started, they weren't given opportunities on other platforms because they weren't popular. And we offered that for them. And a lot of them, they got their first taste of speaking on a stage, their first interview with us, their first feature book review with us. It helped set the tone for them. And also within the organization, it's more so than just say, hey, read this book. We coach and we mentor and we celebrate them. And me personally, I've published over 200 books or so, even within my own independent publishing house.
Wow.
And with those writers, a lot of them are now full-time writers, because I don't just publish. I teach you, I mold you, I take you on the road with me. I teach you the business. I teach you how to be a brand and have longevity, because I think that's the best part of this. We just pay it forward. And I think we're all kind of, you know, moving forward and doing good. Collectively, we are more of a powerful vessel, and our stories are going to be told on bigger platforms. So working with so many, and even some of the bigger names that people know, from Zane to Terry McMillan to such a, the new likes of like the Nick Stones and the Angie Thomas and the Tiffany D. Jacksons, and there's so many different people that I've been able to work with, and then, you know, help them transition to film and television and all that jazz. So it's really all about just pushing them forward. As I stated, it's a literary movement.
I love it. It's so, to that point, people, we're in the coronavirus, we're in this pandemic, and people sitting in the house, and a lot of people want to get started. What is your advice for somebody who wanted to start writing?
Like somebody. Well, my advice for that, and I'm also hosting a number of live chats throughout this month and next month.
Okay.
I'm just answering questions for creatives who are kind of just stuck. There's really no right way to start a story. You just really just start writing. Hmm. Because often people forget that writing really is a talent. It's kind of like I have to learn how to write a script. Or even songwriting has a process. But writing, it takes talent to really tell a story the right way. And I always tell people, if you're not naturally a writer, don't worry about that. Just get your thoughts out. Write it the way that you kind of talk. Write it in the way that you want it to be read, in a sense. And then your editor will help you flesh out that story. I would just get the ideas out there. Even if it's then not even technically writing the story, look up different ways to outline a story and break down what you want the story to actually be. It could be just a couple pages of where you write out what the beginning, the middle, and the end would look like, what the character would be. Just write a summarized overall plot of the story. And then from there, break it down chapter by chapter. It is possible to get these stories out, but it just really just starts with just sitting down and getting started. Don't think about the technicalities. Don't think about the end result and what it's going to look like. Just write out your ideas and then go from there.
Just get started. I love that advice. I tell people that all the time. Whatever you want to do, just get started. I think you kind of figure out along the way whether this is for you or not. Once you get started, whatever it is, you be like,
once you get started, you'll figure it out. But it's that's an action first. If you can't think about it or wish upon a star and hope it and all that jazz, action, whether it's going to work out or not. And I think I even tweeted out the other day is, just because you take a risk doesn't technically mean that you're going to get what you want. The lesson is in the risk itself. Mm-hmm. The lesson is in the actual action. Because if that was the case, if everybody was going to get everything that they've ever wanted, then everybody would be living the life that they wanted. And, you know, there's levels and steps to actually getting what it is that you actually want. And I don't know if your listeners are spiritual or Christian, whatever the case may be, but for me, common sense is without the work, without completing the steps anyway, it's not going to happen. That's just common sense. And the Bible says faith without work is dead. And that's, for me, that's like a faith walk. Just doing the work blindly, not knowing if this is going to work out or not. But you're doing it anyway. That is the point.
That sounds like entrepreneurship all together too. Just like
it is. Entrepreneurship, like it's a risk. Entrepreneurship is a risk. And I tell people, and you'll hear people saying, yeah, I'm working from home now. No, you're working at home. Yeah. Like you have a job, but now everybody's sitting in the house working. There's a huge difference. This is not technically entrepreneurship, because at the end of the day, you're still going to get a guaranteed check from the work that you're doing with these people.
Yeah,
entrepreneurship is an open-ended game. You don't really know the work that you do in that day doesn't really generate funds or income. Mm-hmm. It may not even manifest into anything for months. But hey, that's the joy of entrepreneurship.
Speak to the entrepreneurs a little bit. You said 10 years. And what's the biggest lesson you learned for 10 years, just not having a job, you say, in 10 years? What's the biggest lesson you learned? And there's probably a bunch of them, and I know there is. But if somebody asks you that question, and I am asking you that question, what is that, what's one of the biggest lessons you learned?
One of the biggest lessons I learned this past decade of just not having a job is being disciplined with my time. Mm-hmm. I'm always studying, learning my craft. And at first and foremost, I didn't know no business. I didn't know business at all. So I had to really begin to really learn the business aspect of it, because the creative side of it, or just creating the product or getting the product out there, those ideas may come to us really easy because we may have an idea what we want it to look like.
Yeah.
But when it comes to business, when it comes to relationship building, when it comes to accounting, laws and licensing and things that you need to get, That is very, very, very important to maintaining of longevity in this entrepreneurial space. Also, it's ideal to not do the same thing every year. Every year I have a different plan. Every year I have a different agenda. And every year I'm trying to shake new hands.
Can't shake hands no more, Tamika. Can't shake hands no more.
Okay. You know what? Don't do that. Well, sing hello. Saying hello, sending out, you know, introductory emails, things like that. But it's kind of like if this pandemic was to turn into the purge, right?
Yeah.
Movement is life.
True. Wow.
Like if you watch The Walking Dead, if you watch all these end of the world type things, like you can't sit still if you want to survive. You got to keep moving. Even when you find a safe haven, it's only good for a little bit. And then you got to pack up your supplies and keep it moving to the next, you know, safety zone. And that's the same in this process. Movement is life. Always finding a new outlet. Always creating new relationships. Always creating new outlets, new streams of income. Like, movement. That's all. Never sit still. And at one point, I got comfortable and stagnant. And that was my biggest lesson.
You heard it here first. The first time somebody used like The Walking Dead as a life lesson and put it out.
Yep.
Watch
they
with
coming,
a purpose.
The zombies is coming.
Watch with
Think
a purpose.
Think of the zombies like bills. Children getting on your nerves. Bad health. Credit card debt. Anything that's not progressive team in your life, think of those being the zombies and run away from that.
I love it. That's dope.
Stab it right in the head. I love it.
So you talked about, so that was good. Talking about movement. I'll tell you, just from my personal side, there are days, because I'm highly motivated, I'm high energy, and I'm always like, accomplishment is kind of like a high. So there are days where I feel, as an entrepreneur, I'm like, man, I feel like I dropped the ball today. I feel like I didn't do enough today. Do you have those days? Because I know I had those days. I'm like, man, I lost it. I lost today. That's how I feel. And it's because I'm really hard on myself. But how about yourself? Do you have those kind
of
days?
Of course, because we're not machines. Mm. Like, and the great thing about it is recognizing that you're not a machine. And then, you know, dusting yourself off, and then tomorrow's another day. I'm really big on self-care. I'm really big on protecting your mental space and your peace. Mm. So entrepreneurship can take a huge toll, on your mental health, on your happiness, on your livelihood, because it's nonstop. Like, you go to work 10 to 12 hours a day, and you don't really get a check on that day. You don't get paid every day. Mm-hmm. And if you don't work, then nothing is coming in. So that can really be a huge toll on just anyone. So finding a way to decompress every day for me is ideal. And some days we're gonna have those off days. We're gonna have those days where we feel like we weren't as productive, or we didn't challenge ourselves enough, or we didn't get half the things done on our to-do list. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're human. Dust yourself off, and you have another day. It's not the end of the world. It's really not. So that's my response to that. And then practice self-care practices, folks. Like, even with working, even if you have a job and then you have your thing on the side, which is your business, and you have to maintain your family, your home, don't forget about you in that equation. We are not machines. We don't operate off battery packs or anything like that. So you got to really find some time to just be still. Watch some TV. Drink a glass of wine. Go for a walk. Roll up a blunt. I don't know.
Whatever it is
that you do, do that part.
Don't tell them I'm not a machine. They think I'm a machine. You just told on me.
Don't do that, because it will. Not only that, you want to enjoy life. It's okay to have something that's yours and be excited about it. But don't just always work. Like, find time to enjoy friends. Like, date your friends. Go date your spouse. Spend time with your children. To find a hobby or a fun activity that you like to do at least once a month or something, but have experiences. Go back and look over time of your life and make sure that you have something that you can say, man, that was fun. Or, man, I was living a life. Oh, man, that was a great year. Like, you gotta have those moments along with pursuing your dreams and your goals. Like, you got you. Otherwise, like, what are we doing it for?
Yeah,
like,
true. That's a good sidebar, though, because you just said, you mentioned hobbies. This is one of the things I noticed recently. My pops don't have no hobbies because, you know, they get older and their whole life was dedicated to working or taking care of the family or whatever. Then you get older and you're like, yo, you don't really have a hobby, dude. So I started looking at myself, because everything that was ever a hobby or fun, I turned into a hustle or a job or something. So do you have hobbies?
Exactly. And that's not technically a bad thing, because, hey, why not have fun and make money?
Yeah. I'd be like, man, this is fun, but people will pay for this. And, I, you know, you create an opportunity out of it. So do you have any hobbies?
Yep.
What's your hobby? You like to write. So what else is your hobby? You hang with the kids? What's your hobby?
Right. Let me see. I like to go for my walk.
Total sidebar. This is not what this interview was about, but we got here. Go ahead. Total sidebar.
I like to watch TV. I like to eat.
Okay.
I go for a run a couple times a week. And then I like to travel. I'm not like a materialistic person, so I don't really do shopping or anything like that. I don't have like a lot of, you know, extravagant things in my home. I don't really care about that. I just like to eat and I like to travel. Those are like my fun things to do. But other than that, oh, and then I do like yoga. I do meditation. That is fun for me.
Okay. All right. There you go. You got a couple hobbies in there. Fun.
Yeah, I got a couple hobbies.
You got a couple of them.
You know, just TV, meditation, walks.
I need to figure that out in my life.
And eating. Like, eating
is not a hobby to me. Because we can't go with that. That's not a hobby.
Yes, it is. Okay. I make it a hobby.
Okay.
Because I tell my followers about the food I'm eating. And yeah. I tell them, go try it.
We're not going to put that in the category, but okay. We will go eat. You can have somebody that don't know how to
do it. I told you, I'm all right. I'm cuckoo, so I create my own rules.
All right, so look, speaking of writing, which I found very interesting. Actually, before I get into that, because there's some other interesting things I want other people to know that are listening. You preaching a sermon in front of 300 people, I want to know how you got there. And you never went to the prom. You never went to the prom. How did that... You never went to not an adult prom. You just never been to a prom, right? What's up with that?
Correct.
How do you feel about that? Do you want to go to an adult prom? Do you want to change that? What do you want to do with that?
I do want to change that. I want someone to take me to the prom. I talked with my oldest, my daughter, about it. Her prom will be next year. And I asked if I can go with her. She said, cool, fine. But I never went to the prom because I was a teen mother. I became a mother very, very young. I was 16. When I had my daughter, I was 18 when I got married. And then I was 20 when I started this organization, AANBC, and 21 when I started my publishing company. So fast forward, and then before that, you know, my mother was sick, and I just had to really, really grow up, like, quickly. So as a teenager, I'm living the life that I actually should have been living at 30. Like, I'm going to school, taking care of my mother and my daughter, paying bills, saving, things like that. And I was a very, very responsible teenager. But I just, life dealt me cards that didn't allow me to be a child, unfortunately. And then I just kind of continued it. And I think I tapped into the entrepreneurial space so much because I found something I enjoyed, which was, you know, creating the online book club, which turned to AABC, which turned to the awards. I found things that I like, kind of like you said. I enjoyed these things, but then I found a way to make money through it. And then I kind of birthed my entrepreneur journey unintentionally. But I just didn't experience a lot of things that you would think a teenager would do, or like the one that's going off to college and things like that. I did go to college, but when my company started grossing six figures, I dropped out. I dropped out of college. I quit my job. And I was like, deuces, forget this. I don't want to do this no more. Yeah. So I just didn't have, you know, the normal things that you think I should have had as a child.
So first things first, are you accepting prom dates? And number two, are we going to film this? We can talk about that off air. We need to figure out how to do this whole thing.
I am accepting prom dates because I am single.
Okay. All right. Great. That's good to know.
I am accepting prom dates. If somebody want to, you know, take to the prom, give you one of those flower things that go on your wrist, whatever they call. I want one of them things. And sure, we can film it. I don't mind.
This sounds like a show.
It doesn't really matter.
See where my mind works? Immediately, I was like, this is a show.
And dance is fun.
Yeah, immediately. I said, like, let's produce this. See, we can let Tamika goes to the prom. That sounds like a...
First of all, don't be flirting with me on your podcast.
Oh, wait a minute. Like, what are we doing here? Who said that? Anyway, moving on. prom date time. Anyway, something else that is very, very interesting. Coming Out Hard says, we'll be producing writer. That got me really excited. Coming Out Hard on MJG, A-Bone MJG Bob. Is this, it says it's going to happen. Have you guys started this?
Yeah, so that is a film that I helped co-produce and also helped write and supervise the script. And it's based on the legendary group, A-Ball and MJG. And I experienced, I want to say we filmed our proof. We did a proof of concept is what we did for the film so that we can shop it. And that's where we're at now, which is shopping the film. But working with them was a little bit surreal because, again, I grew up in Texas, and A-Ball and MJG at one point was very, very popular coming out of Houston area with all the, you know, Swisher House, and, you know, you got Scarface, and you have all those. It's just a different type of sound, and you had like No Limit and all. Then that was in New Orleans. That was like in the next state over. So we had a different type of Southern sound. So I grew up listening to A-Ball and MJG. And being able to work with them, hang out with them, see their life and their culture, and then depict their life on film. And I had my children involved in the film. My son is in one of the scenes. It was just a really surreal moment. It was one of my first projects, first official films that I was able to work on. And it got me excited into tapping into more films.
Okay. I'm hype about it. I was wondering, I was like, how? She from Texas. I didn't, because Texas is so big, and on the hip hop side, Texas is so big, and they had it. It's kind of like California, where they kind of have their own group of artists when you're in Texas. So, A-Ball MJG coming from Tennessee, I wouldn't have thought that they would have been a big impact on somebody growing up in Texas. So that's kind of.
Because I think they were with, what was the group, the label they was with? The label they were with was based out of Houston.
Because they were with Jay Prince.
And so that's why sometimes people get them confused and thinking that they are Texas natives, but they're not. They're really from Memphis.
Memphis, yeah. Orange Mound. Yeah, I am a huge fan of 8-Ball MJG. So
I know, right?
So the fact that she's going to be a part of that, I'm like, word? That's hard.
Of all, I know,
the, all the things, like throw everything else out the window. That's hard. I was like,
vibrant, and I can have some great stories that I can't wait to share just on set with being around them, and you know, and just it's some great funny stories I cannot wait to share, and just seeing how they really are. They are really just nice, humble, and very quiet. Dude,
yeah.
And
A-Ball,
he's very
quiet.
Neat, very shy.
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't think that they were like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've been around A-Ball more than MJG, but yeah, very. It's surprising.
And nice. The nicest person.
Scarface like that, too. You know, like, to have a name, Scarface is like that, too. He's, like, he the coolest.
Yeah,
like, you know, you sit there and have a conversation. You never know that you're Scarface. Like, if you sit there and talk to Brad.
I agree.
You're talking to Brad.
Articulate well, nice guy. Like, their artistry is not who they are. It's different. Nothing now that they're older, too. They just grew up. They just grown men now.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But look, I could talk to you. I am enjoying this. I could probably talk to you all day. But
you probably did.
Yeah, but you got work to do. Everybody got work to do. So I'm gonna let you move on. I appreciate you getting on here and talking to us, especially during these times. We're part of history right now. Put this in your bio. Part of history.
This is definitely part of history.
Now, if somebody wants to follow you on social media, they want to go get one of your 18 novels, all that, give me the website, social media.
So y'all got to check me out, though. Like, I think that I'm entertaining online, especially on Twitter. Everything is my name. And it's Tamika, that's with an I. Tamika. New House is spelled just like it sounds. Like, I bought a new house. So it's NEWHOUSE. So all together online is Tamika Newhouse on Instagram, Twitter, my website. I also have a podcast myself. It's a podcast series, though. It's a memoir, and it's called Traces of Mika. And again, that's Mika, that's with an I, M-I-K-A. And that's on Pandora, Apple Music, Spotify, all that jazz, Google Play Music. But season one is streaming now, so definitely go and check that out. And then, of course, the digital awards that we're producing for the AANBC Awards, we're going to announce this year's winners for the hottest writers, the hottest books. We're going to stream that on April 22nd on the AANBC's network. So follow AANBC on social media at AANBC Awards on Twitter and Instagram. And the website is theaanbcawards.com.
Okay. I'll be out there. I'll definitely be checking that out on April 22nd.
You better check it out.
What time on April 22nd? What time is it?
7.
7 Eastern time?
Yep, 7 Eastern. So we're going to be streaming it on YouTube and also on our website. And eventually it'll be streaming on Amazon Prime. So that will be eventually where it will be placed.
Like, your energy comes through in your pictures. I want to tell you that too. The person that you are, once you talk to you, actually comes through in your pictures, which is dope.
Well, thank you.
Continue.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, continue doing what you do. Much success, especially on this upcoming event. And when we get out, when outside opens back up, we'll get together.
I definitely want to do that. You seem like you'd be lots of fun. Thank you so much for having me. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Don't shake nobody's hands. Running the point with Jason Carey. We out of here.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.